Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Empower You Radio. I am your host and the founder of Empower You and Empower You Radio. My name is Kelly Alsobrook. For those of you that don't know me, I'm also known as the Rising Phoenix because God has brought me out of the ashes of human trafficking, domestic violence, and sexual assault. I am a public speaker, I am an author, a radio host, and my mission and my passion is to empower, inspire, and motivate others. And this is how I do it. This is my platform, is by having this radio show and being able to have survivors of human trafficking, domestic violence, sexual assault come on and be able to share their stories of hope and be able to inspire and educate. So tonight is a little bit different, and I'm excited and I'm nervous at the same time, but it is going to be probably the most impactful show that I have ever had. And so there's only one rule to our show. Although you are allowed to call in, we do not take calls. We don't take questions from the callers. There are two ways that you can listen in or ask questions. One is if you're listening online, you can always go into the chat box and ask a question or make a comment. Or if you're on the Facebook event page, you can also post questions or comments on there as well. The reason for this is because we never know who is going to call in and say something inappropriate. And so I like to keep my guests safe as well as my listeners. And so that is why that's the way I do things on this show. And towards the end of the show, I have a huge, huge announcement that I am so excited about. So you do not want to miss the exciting news that I have about Empower You Radio and a new direction that it's going to go in. So without further ado, I am going to introduce my guest for this evening. Her name is Ileana Lago, and I know I will butcher her last name, so I will let her say it when I bring her on. And let me just share this. The name of this show is From the Heart of a Best Friend. So in elementary school and middle school, they were the best of friends, almost inseparable. Neither one realized at the time how much the other needed each other. They were both going through their own trials, and the other didn't even realize it, until the father of one started playing sexual games with Ileana. She knew something was off, but being a child herself, she didn't really understand, and she questioned for years, was it her fault? Her best friend finally decided that they should only go to Ileana's house because she knew it wasn't safe for her at her own house. She didn't want her best friend to be subjected to what she was enduring. Many years later, they would reconnect via Facebook and rekindle their friendship. They shared their individual hurts and pains as well as their triumphs. They spoke about what happened with Ileana's best friend's dad. It was hard for the best friend to hear how much damage was done, but it was a relief to know Ileana had not gone down the same path. So in the description that I posted, what I had said was, wait until you hear who Ileana's best friend was. And the best friend is me. And tonight's show may get a little emotional, but it is going to be so real, and you are going to hear from the heart of Ileana what I endured as a child and growing up all the way up until about eighth grade, when just for our own our own things that were going on in our lives and with our families, we just kind of separated a little bit. And so without further ado, I would love to introduce my childhood best friend, Ileana Lago. Hello, Ileana. How are you?
Hi, Kelly. Thank you so much for having me on the show. What an introduction. Wow. That was amazing. That was just amazing, and it just brought back so, so much. So I'm a little nervous because I've never done anything like this before.
Well, I think you'll do great.
Actually, never talked about this before.
Okay. I know, and we've only talked about it amongst ourselves, and you know, it was pretty deep, and I had searched for you for years on Facebook and couldn't find you, and I was almost scared
because
to find
of my
you
last name. I changed it actually. what happened was when Facebook came out, I had used my married name. It's Chinkalich. Ileana Lago is my maiden name. So, and I looked for you too under your old name, and I couldn't find it. But I later changed it so that anyone who searched Ileana Lago can find me. But here we are.
Well, it's funny because I was almost scared to really connect because I didn't know at the time if you had harbored any bad feelings about what we went through as kids. And but at the same time, it was so exciting to finally find you and for us to reconnect. So, Ileana, just share a little bit about you first and how you grew up. And then we will talk about how we met. And we'll go from there.
I was born in New York, 1966. My parents moved to Miami. I have a brother. I grew up in a very strict household. My parents, my mother was an immigrant from Cuba. My father was from Puerto Rico. They were very good people. Even though my father, they never talked about things. It's not like today where you have discussions about, you know, things. We didn't talk like that. They were like, my mother was very religious. My father worked all the time. Education was everything to them. So I had to do well in school. I am a nurse anesthetist. I got my master's in anesthesia 2010. And I dedicated the past, actually, 22, 23 years in the nursing field. And what else? I'm married. My husband is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. My mother loved him. She passed away, but she was the one who told me that's the one. So I've been married for 23 years, I guess 22 years. And I have two adult children now. My youngest is 18. My daughter's 21. And they're in school too. What else can I say? I live a very blissful, happy life. I mean, of course, I have issues too, sometimes a little depression, you know, menopause is coming on now. But other than that, I've been blessed.
Yeah, and your daughter's pretty amazing with horses. I just have to throw that out there.
She is. She's amazing with animals, period. And that just says a lot about someone who can really, who loves, and she's like the Pied Piper, like animals love her. My son too, he's, my daughter sings actually, and I remember you used to sing.
Yes,
you used to love to sing, and you did really well.
Shh, nobody's supposed to know that.
But you sing really, really well.
I'm kidding. Okay, the secret is now out. Yes, I can sing. Okay, so now that you've blown that secret. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry. I've got others.
I know.
I've got lots.
Okay, so.
Oh, I also want to congratulate you on your book.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
The book.
Congratulations. I read it. I have a secret. And
yes.
Oh my God, reading this book was just amazing. But I guess we'll get that there later. But that was just an amazing book.
Thank you. All right.
Going to do that.
So let's talk about when we first met, because we were in elementary school when we met.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we were. And I know exactly the first time I remember you. It was actually, I don't know how old, we must have been 9, 8. I don't know how old we were. We were little. And it was at your house. And I want to say it might have been a birthday party. And I remember you were always smiling, so I got to see your teeth, and you seemed so happy. There were other people. I don't know if it was your birthday, but there were a lot of people there. And I remember looking in your mouth, and I saw that your front tooth was chipped. And I said, well, what happened to your tooth? And you said, oh, my daddy got mad at me, and he smashed my face in the table. And see, I never grew up, I was never hit. My parents, even for that time that hitting was appropriate, they never, never touched me or hit me. So that never left my mind ever. And I'll never forget that moment when you told me that. It was like, wow, people do that? Like someone that you love did that to you. And, you know, in my little mind, I didn't even know what to think of it. I was like, that's a very mean man. That was my first memory of you. And you said it like it was nothing. You didn't even cry. It was like regular. It was like telling me, you know, I have brown hair because my mommy has brown hair. You know, it's just something you don't normally hear. And remember that back then we had no internet. We didn't have cell phones. We barely had TV. Like I had black and white TV. I think there were three channels. We didn't have access to information, right? Like we were so innocent. Like literally, I didn't know what anything was. Like all I knew how to do was play. And so when you told me that was a first glimpse, because they didn't show violence on TV either. That was a no-no. You never saw it today. So we were not exposed. I wasn't at least to any violence at all. That was actually the first time I heard anything violent and actually saw your tooth and could see it in 9-year-old brain.
Yeah, that was
shocking.
That was pretty, and for me it was normal. It was just like, well, this is my life, you know, this is what I'm used to. And so let's share a little bit about you came over on a pretty regular basis for quite a while.
Oh, we were inseparable. Are you kidding me? After school, especially. We would go to your house. You, nobody was there. It was just you and me. And I knew that we were best friends. Let me tell you when I knew we were best friends. For some reason, you had boiled eggs. All the time, you had boiled eggs. And, you know, we eat, you know, you peel the egg and you open the egg and you're like, you said, ew, I hate the yolk. I'm like, ooh, I hate the white. So we would eat, you'd eat all the whites, and I would eat all the yellows, and it was like the best day ever. I knew you were my best friend then.
Yes, we were literally inseparable. Literally inseparable.
Literally.
And
what I have to tell you is what I remember about your house, it was very strange. I remember it like vividly. Your house was very dark inside. It was all the windows had like foil or something on them so no one can see in and you couldn't see out. And it was, but when, and your parent, your dad, I guess they used to smoke a lot and was smoky, but when you're 8 years old, you don't care about that stuff, you know? You just want to play and eat egg yolk with your friend, you know?
Yes. So, Ileana, we're about to get into a little bit of a tough subject.
Okay.
Share about the encounter with my dad and when you noticed that something was not quite right.
Your father always, these are people that are master manipulators. They know how to get, especially for an innocent child, like we were innocent children, especially me. Like I didn't know anything of anything. To be honest with you, I didn't even know what a penis looked like. So my first encounters were like him thinking, talking about being psychic and playing with energies. He would say, here, grab my hands, and I'm going to pass energy from my brain through this hand out through you. And so that was his way of play to bring me closer to him. I remember, and it wasn't all at once. It took, he worked his way up to that, you know. We went swimming in your pool. We went swimming in your pool, and we were young and ridiculous. We didn't have bathing suits, so we took all our clothes off, and we jumped in your pool. And we played in the pool all day. We were naked. I didn't even remember what you looked like naked. We just did. We were little kids. And I remember when we went inside your house, we were dressed. We had already dried off and gotten dressed, and your dad wanted us to come over and sit in his lap. And our backs were to each other, and my legs were off one side on his right side, and you were on his left side. And that's the first time that things got a little touchy-feely. He put his hand over my clothes on my private area, and it felt, I've never had anyone do that, or it didn't feel right. And I was thinking, is something happening to her too? Like, I didn't even have the mind to look back and see you. And I didn't know what he was doing to you. But I didn't like what that was happening. And that was the first time.
Yeah. And so you would continue to come to my house. And
I did, because I loved you.
Yeah. Because, you know, we were inseparable, and, you know, we didn't know how to process what was happening. And at that time, it was like, what's said here stays here.
I actually quoted that on my notes. I actually did. And you know what? What stays here? And that there goes... What stays here means, oh, you know, the blinds. They were not blinds. It was like no windows. And I never told my parents. I never told my parents that things like that happened. And it would happen, but not in like, they would happen, but I couldn't tell them because I was embarrassed and ashamed that I did something bad. And I never told my parents because I didn't want to stop seeing you, you know. And I thought that I was so ashamed. And I thought that they would punish me. I thought that I would be in trouble, even though I didn't get, like, physical punishment. The shame of it, you know, even at that young age, you know, I was afraid to tell them.
Yeah, it was, I mean, who could we tell? Because back in that day, you didn't say anything. And
no one
you
had
and I,
anything. They didn't have, yeah.
You and I didn't even really talk about it. We just kind of
swept
it under the rug because we didn't know what
to
say. We didn't know what to think. We didn't know how to feel. We didn't know how to process it. We were kids.
Children.
Yes.
I have to tell you one thing, though. Go ahead.
What's that? No, go ahead.
That you know, it made me very distrustful of men my entire life. I never, ever trusted men after that. Only my brother and my father. Those are the only people. I was very shy. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how things escalated with my dad. So we'll be right back.
Yep.
Are you looking for bath and body products that are healthy for your skin? We have the company just for you. The owner of Fizz Bubbles is Trisha Hall, who is a 100% disabled Marine Corps veteran. She sustained severe traumatic brain injury as well as sexual assault in the military. Her products are made by all organic materials, and they are handmade and handcrafted. So if you are looking for something that is not only good on your skin, but good for your skin, go check her out at www.fizzbubbles.com. You will absolutely love the way your skin feels.
Well, welcome back to Empower You Radio, where we are talking with my childhood best friend, Ileana Lago. I still will not butcher her last name because she is married. And I look at it and go, okay, I'm not going to butcher this. So
it's
I just
okay.
Won't
everybody
say it.
Says the same.
So funny.
So we were talking about, before the break, the start of the manipulation.
Yes,
with
the manipulation.
Dad.
Yes.
And
he was a master. That's what child abusers are. They are master manipulators. You would never, ever guess. My parents never had a clue. Never even would wonder. Never had a clue.
No, and my father was extremely intimidating anyway. Anybody that he encountered, he just had this aura about him that was very intimidating. He was a pretty big man, and if he ever yelled, oh my God, the
yes,
yell in itself. Yes, you've heard him yell, and it was very scary. It was very
and over the dumbest things, over stupid shit, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been the dumbest thing, like we ate too many of your eggs, you know, or something ridiculous. It was never. No one needs to be spoken to that way, or no one needs to act that way.
Exactly. So, Ileana, share with our listeners, and I know this is a little difficult. It's difficult for both of us, but share how things escalated. With my dad over the years.
Well, I remember one time, and I think it was the last time, except for one more time that I was there as a child. We ended up in your dad's bedroom. I don't know how we got there or why we were there, but we were there. And I don't remember how or why. He made, I was, he his showed me his penis, and you were there, and it was like nothing to you, and I was like, oh, that what it looks like? Because I have never seen one, and I ended up with his penis in my mouth, and he did not ejaculate. I don't remember any of that. I don't remember anything. All I remember is that was really bad, and I don't think I came back to your house after that. I felt like I had caused it. I felt like it was my fault. And for all these years, I thought that I had caused that. And so until I spoke to you and you told me that that's how they do it, they make you think you do it, but it's not your fault. And all these years, I felt disgusted. I had a hard time. Even at one point in my marriage, because, you know, yes, you have a hard time of getting intimate with people or as a parent, I was super, super overprotective because I never wanted anything like that to happen to my children, to have to live through the guilt through their entire life of having that. There were no sleepovers. And, you know, the funny thing is I was never allowed to sleep over. And this happened in the middle of the day. So I was very careful of who they played with, who their friends were. I was insane. I was that mother who you would see outside in the little chair. I'd sit outside. I'd put up cones to make sure they had a little play safe area on the street. And I would watch all the kids in the neighborhood, not just mine. And anyone looked funny or anything weird, oh, no. I was super overprotective to the point where even today my husband's like, you've got to let them go. You have to let them go out. I mean, you know, to have fun or go away or do things. I'm just starting to get more comfortable. And the fact it was like being set free that night I spoke to you and you said, Ileana, it wasn't your fault. You didn't cause that. It was your 7, 8, 10-year-old brain telling you it's your fault. You don't know how to process these things. I didn't know how to process it. I always thought that I made that happen, that it was because of me. I never told my parents. They never knew. They were so free. They didn't have that either in their lives, you know? It wasn't until I spoke to you that I finally felt like, you know how I could just imagine coming out of the closet feels like, oh, it's not my fault. You know, and I started reading, there's this poet, American poet, she's amazing. Her name is Maya Angelou.
And I love her.
I love her. She's a civil rights activist, and she's an author and a poet. She's passed away a few years ago. At 7 years old, she was raped, and it was by someone well known to the family. She had to be hospitalized, and that man, they had found the next day kicked to death, beaten to death. And she thought that she had caused his death by speaking his name. So she stopped talking for 5 years, and all she did was go to the Black Library and read all the poets from all over the world, and any hands that she could get on the White Library, she would read everything. And finally she spoke out, and she had a lot to say after not talking for 5 years. But, you know, look at this beautiful woman who endured something so horrible that she had to be hospitalized for. And she spoke his name, the guilt that she lived with all those years of that man dying because she spoke his name. So that just gives you a taste of what an 8-year-old mind can do as you get older. It's still there. It's still, you know, until you understand, until you told me it wasn't your fault, I finally feel free.
Yeah, and that was really difficult for me because I lived with the guilt of not only what I was enduring, and then, you know, it going even further in my eighth grade year, but knowing that he would play those games with us where we would be at the kitchen table and he'd want us both to be touching him. He would just pull out his penis and he wanted us to just play with it. And, you know, the guilt that I lived with, and I know that you had heard, not from me, but from someone else, about another young lady.
Oh, poor thing. This girl had such a hard life. She was beautiful. What was her name? I forgot.
Heidi.
Oh, my God. And I heard this after. Like, I don't think, like, we were a little bit older now, maybe 11.
Okay, I think we were in eighth grade by this point.
Eighth grade, so we must have been 12 or 13, right?
Yeah.
And I heard that he got out of control. Like, thank God he never did anything. Like, he never raped me. I mean, having something in your mouth is considered rape, and it's disgusting. But he didn't, like, you know, and nothing else happened. But with her, like, he talked to her. And we had discussed this earlier. This is why I know that, and I heard that he had oral sex with her, and she must have been, 12, 13 years old?
Yeah, she had ran away from home.
And he manipulated her.
Yep.
Oh, she ran away from home to your house?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow. Talk about choices. Yeah, that was really...
I don't think she came back to school after that.
I never saw her again.
Nope, I never saw her.
I don't even know what happened to her. I don't even know her last name. I just know she had the most beautiful blue eyes I've ever seen. And the thick blonde hair. She was just so sweet. But I guess she was having a hard time at home too, you know? I mean, you ran away too, didn't you?
Yeah. And there was a little pony farm that we used to love to go to.
Rockin' and Ranch.
Yep. And that's where I felt safe.
Summers. Oh, the safe place. That was the best place ever. That's where I got introduced to horses. Actually, my father used to take me on Saturdays. My mom used to do nails. And he would take me to a pony farm where you got up and you rang a bell, but I was never big enough. And I was jealous of all the big people. I'm little, so I was always very little. And so we would go there, you and I. We would ride ponies all day long, bareback. That was our safe place. That was the best place ever. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. I will also never forget that your father and sister came over and were looking for you. And I knew exactly where to find you. I said, I know. I bet I know where she is. And so I had no idea what you were enduring at the time. Much worse than me and Heidi. Much, much, much more sinister. Much, much, much worse. And so I took everyone over there, and we found in a little, like, trailer, not a trailer, but there's a wheelbarrow or something, your blow dryer, as if you're going to use it at the ranch, and all of your stuff. And they found you, and they took you back, and I'm so sorry. We didn't know if I knew, but you went back to the abuse. You went back home. That was like a cry for help, I think. But no one heard it.
Mm-mm. No.
So what happened to you? What was happening? Why? Why did you run away?
I was tired of the abuse. I was tired of always being accused of having sex with all of these people. My dad would constantly accuse me of doing different things. Now, granted, I wasn't the perfect kid, and, you know, I got into stuff just like kids do. But,
of course,
you know, the things that he was accusing me of, I just didn't do. And so, and that was what was going on. And I never blamed you for telling them, because, I mean, you were worried about me as well. And, you know, not knowing the full extent of what was going on, you know, how could you know?
I had no idea. I had no idea. I had a clue, but I didn't know how bad it really was. I know now what you went through.
Because I remember, you know, that after that happened with my dad and what he did to you and you stopped coming over, I wanted you to stop coming over. I only wanted to go to your house.
Yep, because my house is a safe place, and I had a Barbie townhouse.
Yes, you did, and it was fun.
Yes, you remember my Barbie townhouse?
Yes.
and my mom was always in the kitchen cooking. Let's bring it. So your mother wasn't there. And
no.
She was never there. You didn't have like a female figure there. So anybody that came to your house, which by the way also had a photographic dark room where they would take pictures and stuff, which was actually really creepy.
My dad,
I just thought,
took
like, it was just your dad.
Pictures.
It wasn't like there was no female. There was no femininity. You know, my house, we had my mom, and she would cook for us. You know, and we played, and it was real, and you just wanted to stay there, and I wish you could, you know? We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, there were so many times. There were so many times I wish I could. And, you know, the only other female in the house was my sister, but she was always gone. She was either out hanging. She's 7 years older than I am. She was either always hanging out with her friends or she was at school at night. She was going to college and working full time. And
right.
So, when I was 10, one of the biggest things I do remember about my sister that made her my hero was my dad. I was sleeping and he was getting ready to come into the room and beat me. And my sister jumped on the bed and said, no, you're not going to touch her. You're not going to touch her. And she had became my hero that day. But
I believe that
wasn't,
because she was like a dude. Like she was like very strong, and she even dressed like a guy.
Like, she was like, she was a badass bitch. Honestly.
Yeah,
like, I could totally see her doing that.
And she was the only one that was able to stand up to him. But she had no clue what was going on.
What you were going through. Did you ever tell her?
She really had no idea.
Did she not believe you?
We had discussions, but no.
How bad did it get with your dad?
When I was in eighth grade, because that's when you and I kind of separated. You had some
because
stuff going
it was,
on.
There was no ninth grade. Ninth grade was high school. Back then it was junior high was seventh. Yes. It was seventh and ninth. You disappeared. That was it.
Yeah.
It was like that was it. You never went back to school.
I was at school, but I would leave early to go to work because I think when you were 15, you could go through
the
work experience program. So, but what was happening in my eighth grade year was my dad would, you know, my sister would be off at school. She would be at night school, and my dad would tell me to come in his room, and he would put on porn and have me lay down with him and watch porn. And then the sexual abuse was really getting more intense. It wasn't just the playing and the fondling and the touching. It was what these people were doing in the movies. He took it to the grave with him. He took all of that to the grave. And, you know, to this day, my family does not believe me that it happened.
This is terrible. It's just common, actually. It's so sad that they don't believe you.
Yeah, and, you know, because, you know, what my father did, and as you said earlier, he was a master manipulator. He was able to make people think whatever he wanted them to think. And so he had already groomed everybody to believe that I was a liar and that I lied about everything. And so in eighth grade, I was just invisible.
Yes, actually, except for one thing, and I found it so odd. There was, which was out of the behavior for you, because you were this, you know, I remember we were in choir, and then there was like, so you were running for something like Mosanius or something, and I've never seen you like that. You just didn't, you weren't right. You want that title, you know, in this yearbook when you get, you know, most popular, most, you know, whatever, most saniest. But that was like really the last time, I think, that's the last moments that I remember you was when that was going on. You know, another time was you had gotten pregnant and had a child. And I remember I went to go visit you. That was the last time I was at your house. And I saw your beautiful baby and you. And I've never seen a stretch mark. Mind you, we were kids. It was your first child, I think. How old were we? 17? 16?
I was 17 when I got pregnant. So I had her a month after my 18th birthday.
Wow, yep. That many years.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, that must have not gone over well in your household at the time. Sure.
No. It was not a good thing. But, you know, it was kind of too late because by the time I even realized that I was pregnant, I was 7 months pregnant.
I can totally understand that because we didn't have any type of information back then, except for maybe a mother that would tell you, honey, maybe, you know.
Yeah. My sister was the one who figured it out because I was sleeping so much.
Oh.
And I was sick. I was really sick when I was pregnant with my oldest daughter. I was extremely sick. And I thought I had the flu. And so I was walking to 163rd Street Mall, eating oranges,
yep,
thinking that I had the flu. And here I am, like, throwing up on the side of the road because I was actually pregnant and did not know it. So that was why I disappeared and why my personality changed so much during that
time. Did your dad tell you to quit school?
Yes.
And
he
that's
sure
infuriating
did.
For me because education to me is everything. It's not everything, but it's really important. You know?
Yep. At 16, he had me quit school. So I never did any high school stuff because I was only in high school for a few months. And because I failed eighth grade, had to redo eighth grade.
I failed eighth grade twice.
Yeah.
My father left. My father left my mother for a year. It was the roughest year of my life. And I think it's just horrible. So I didn't have him, but he came back after a year. But that was the rough year. I failed eighth grade twice. I went to private school. I made it up, thank God. But, yeah, when shit is going wrong in your house, you can't – it's hard to focus or do anything productive, really. As a young adolescent, you know?
Exactly. And that is so true. And, you know, I enjoyed those times at your house because your house was that safe place.
Yep.
And I had missed our friendship. And so we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, I want you to talk about what your thoughts were when you were reading my book and how you were correlating.
I'd love to share that with you. Absolutely.
How you were correlating what you were going through when I was going through. So we will be right back.
Thank you for listening to Empower You Radio. If you would like to find out more about us, please visit our website at www.kellyalsobrook.com. There, you'll be able to find out about upcoming events, contact us, find out about our founder, and find out how you can become more involved, as well as be able to make a donation. Be blessed. And remember to be a blessing to someone else.
Well, welcome back to Empower You Radio, where I have been talking with my childhood friend, my childhood best friend, Ileana. And this has been an extremely powerful show. You know, Ileana sharing her experiences with my dad and things that he did to her, and then her knowledge of what he did to another one of our friends, and then she, like, disappeared off the face of the earth after that happened. So, you know, you shared also, Ileana, about how the experience with my dad had changed your perspective on trust and love.
Oh, yes.
How did you end up being able to have the amazing marriage that you have now?
Because I married an amazing person. You know, I don't know if it's luck or chance. I don't really believe in that. I believe everything is a purpose. And he came into my life, even at that young age. He was like a sage. He was so spiritual, knowledgeable. He comes from a Muslim background. His family is Muslim. And I know there's a lot of Muslim hate out there right now, but they are the nicest people I've ever met. And the only people that I was able to trust after what happened with your dad. Like, I could never hold a relationship. It blocked me from being able to trust. And he was the kindest soul to this day that I know. And it's because of him that I am successful and we are successful. And I remember still harboring these awful, distrustful feelings. Like I just, sometimes you just don't want to be intimate. You don't want people, intimacy into me. You see, I didn't want anyone to see inside. He had no idea what had happened. And I remember after being married, and he told me one day and looked me in the eye and said, "Illy, this is a marriage and it's supposed to feel good. And we are married and it's okay because I love you. I'll never hurt you. And I don't know what happened to you, but that will never happen here." And he was able to literally bring me out of the ashes that you spoke about and into the light. My husband, even though he comes from a Muslim background, he does not believe in organized religion, although he is the most spiritual person and connected to God that I know. He's an avid meditator. He believes in the power of intention. There were things in your book. There was a quote, actually, that I wanted to share with you that was something that my husband would say. You see, you're going from, like, you felt like you had a sign on your head that said, "I am broken, I am hurt, abuse me." And these are things that we carry inside of us. And when you have these negative feelings, when you have this negative energy that you're letting out into the world, what you're going to get is negative energy. So meditation is very much like prayer. It's like positive segmenting. I don't know if my husband says it perfect. Anyway, it's about setting your day, like having segments of your day, like, "I'm going to have a great ride. I'm going to have a great car ride today." Just being positive and bringing things forward. Like, today I'm going to laugh a lot and I'm going to have a great time. Or, you know, "I'm going to keep my patient safe and I am going to have a great day," or whatever, have more breaks. You know, just being more positive and bringing positivity in your life, because what the energy that you're feeling, and when you set those intentions that today I'm going to have a great day, it's like a beacon. You're setting off positive things that are going to come your way, and they do, and they'll find you. When you have that sign on your forehead that you felt like you did, "Come hurt me, abuse me," and, you know, that's what you get more of.
Absolutely. Wow, I didn't know that we had this many messages on Facebook. I've been so into the show.
What?
That, oh, my God, we have so many.
Really? What?
Yes. Oh, yeah, there's so many comments, and I'm just now seeing them. Oh,
like,
my gosh.
What? What?
They're really good. Oh,
are
my
they?
God. Yeah,
oh,
they're really good. And wow. Yeah, and somebody posted on here, "Many Muslims are very nice people." So you get back what you give. Makes sense. That's
yes,
what
you
someone
do.
Just posted.
That's, yes, that's what my husband has taught me.
Yeah, and,
that's
you know,
God
I share that all
me,
the time.
Actually. That's what
that,
God has taught me.
That is something that I share a lot, is if we attract what we are. And
yes.
So if we are broken, we're going to attract someone
more
else that is broken.
More breaking.
Yes.
Yes.
And then because I kept the secret for so long,
me too.
I stayed in very toxic relationships. And so
I've had some pretty unhealthy ones myself.
I want you to share about when you got my book and when you started reading it and you were feeling as you were reading the book.
First of all, I knew what had happened to you because we had heard our family as I was older where you were in your life. You were in a very bad place. You didn't have any support system. You didn't have anyone. And so, you know, when I picked up your book, I saw the cover itself. It's a great cover, by the way. I just saw my past and I'm like, oh my God. Like, so, you know, your childhood, and I noticed you didn't mention me, but I know why. I knew then why, because we hadn't talked about this in a long time and you didn't know, we didn't have this consent. So you left kind of me out of it, but I knew why you did it. And I was like, wow, she did that, you know? And every little step of the way, dates, for example, I have them written down. Do people know what happened to you? Like, I don't want to divulge anything that, is that a word?
Oh,
divulge?
No. My life is pretty much an open book. My life is an open book, literally.
So you became, you know, a prostitute, right?
Right. That was trafficked, yes.
You were human. You were kidnapped. So while I'm looking at it, they made you that way because they were master manipulators. You had nowhere to go. We didn't have shelters, really. We didn't have any support back then. We had nothing. We had nowhere to go, really. I was in college. I was getting my nursing degree. And you were being sold, literally, like cattle, from person to person. And while I was reading that, I was so heartbroken, just so heartbroken to know that here I am living this college life and you were made to go on the street. And if you didn't bring money back, you would get beaten bad. Like the way you described it, it just broke my heart. And I'm so sorry that that happened to you. And I'm sure that you're not alone in this, but God, it really, really hurt me. You ended up, they took your kid. I don't know if I can go there, but you know, they made you do things and you had to give them all of your money. And for what? So you can have a place to sleep and eat. Because there was nothing when we were growing up. There was nowhere to go. There was nothing we can do. That's what we did. I wasn't even home anymore. I didn't know what happened to you. There was no internet. We couldn't find each other. I didn't know who to call. You couldn't call me. We didn't have any of that.
No, we sure
okay.
didn't.
Okay, so here are some of my notes. We didn't have that.
No, we didn't.
But you know what? There was what stuck out to me was there were a couple of people that helped you. There was a woman who came up to you at Wendy's. You were kicked. Oh my God. You were kicked out of your hotel. There's so many things I can say. I don't know where to start. And she gave you $100 and she looked at you and said, God told me to give this to you. You know, out of all of this ugliness, out of all of it, like Maya Angelou even said, out of all of it comes beauty. And there is good in the world. And she gave you $100. You ate that night, you know? There were other nights. God, what a police officer who helped you and said, you don't look like you belong here, because you didn't. You couldn't. I know who you are. No, you don't belong there, Kelly. And he was right. He saw it too. You don't belong there. And He gave you a place to stay, and he didn't hurt you, and for your daughter, and you got out. I just want to, whoever that policeman was, an angel. He was an angel. And I'm so glad that you put good things in there, because I'm so happy, you know, that he was able to help you. And yeah, after that, you went in and out of, because that's what the process is. Nothing is linear. Nothing is straight line. Everything in life is waves. You go up, you go down. It's sound waves. It's energy, current. Nothing is straight. So it's a process of getting out of something so horrible. So with that said, I have, I can't even talk about your kid not time with spike and bones because I don't want to hurt them very badly. But I will go with your recovery. Can we go there? Can we go to a good place starting?
Yeah, absolutely.
September 21st, 1992, I was in Barry University. And you had started your recovery.
Yep.
You did the 12 steps, right?
Yes.
And you had a couple of marriages. There was a June 6, 2002. I was working as a nurse, helping people. And you had gotten married, and I think you got divorced.
Well, this June 6, 2002 was the first time I married my husband that I have now.
Keith, I have it written here.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And you didn't feel worthy, did you? Honestly, because
no,
you know
didn't.
What? There was a time when, no, me neither. I felt like I wasn't worthy of his goodness. I just wasn't. And I didn't know why. And I thought he's like an angel. Like, I don't deserve him. I know how you felt.
I struggled really hard because I had been through so many years of abuse and sexual assault and thinking that sex was love and, you know, just being this person that nobody looked at me as Kelly. They looked at me as just a piece of property, just a piece of meat that where I am supposed to be used, abused, thrown away. And so when I met my husband and the first time that we were married, poor thing, he took a lot of
wrath.
No,
I totally understand you because I feel you. Go ahead.
He took the wrath of every person that had ever hurt me. And in the book, I do talk about the Kelly kit, which consisted of plaster and paint for all the holes in the walls and things that I would
that.
Do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it was very difficult for me to accept that love. But, you know, here's the thing. I did not love myself. So how could I allow someone else to love me? And it wasn't until I really got into a relationship with God and I got serious about it that I was able to start the healing process. And that's what it was for me because I had to know how special I was in order to be able to accept from someone else that I'm special, that I'm worthy, that I am amazing. And so are you, by the way. I want you to know that.
Honey, please. Listen, I didn't have the odds stacked up against me like you did. And for you to be a human trafficking advocate, an author, so many things. You're a grandmother, for Pete's sake. You have a lover of life, lover of God. You have become such a great person. And through all of that, all of those bad things that happened to you is what made you also the beautiful person you are today and the beautiful things that you do. There is good in this world. And just like, you know, Maya Angelou, because you remind me a lot of her, you were able to find the positive and the beauty in this life, and you have a purpose. And I am so profoundly proud of you, so profoundly proud. And really, it is such a pleasure to put you on. I just want people to know they're not alone. And how wonderful you are, how truly wonderful you are.
There is one thing that I want to say to you, Ileana. Before we end the show, I want to truly truly apologize to you for what my dad did to you.
Oh my God.
And I,
Kelly,
so,
no.
So sorry.
Listen, what he did to me, he did to you worse. And it wasn't, we were children. We were children. We didn't know better. We didn't know. Now we know. Would you protect me now? Because I would. I would kill for you. If someone tried to hurt you, I would protect you with my body. So,
oh, I would do the same for you.
Don't ever apologize. Exactly, because that's who you are. You're a great person, and you were always a great friend. And don't you ever apologize for him, ever. Ever. You were a victim, okay? But you are not one now, and neither am
no.
I. We became both very strong people, and we overcame that. Don't you ever apologize for him. You can only apologize for your actions. You didn't know you were a kid. You tried to get out of it. You freaking ran away. Listen, I love you. And I think that what happened made me stronger, and it protected my kids a whole lot. And it made you who you are. And I see great things in your future, and I'm so proud of you. And don't you look back and even apologize once. Don't you ever, because you know what? That is what made us strong. Believe it or not, it made us strong.
It did. It
You're
did.
You're such a beautiful person. I can't even believe you'd even apologize
so
to me. Like, I just want to cry.
I love you so much, Ileana. I truly,
I love
truly
you too.
Do.
And reading that book was like reading my history. It was like reading explicitly. There were things that I don't want to get into. I guess it would be, I don't know. I don't want to, but there were times in your life that were so scary that I have, like, really a hard time dealing with, you know? Like, I don't know. Anyway. Definitely a must-read. Definitely a must-read, because I don't think I've ever read anything so true and explicit ever, and scary and triumphant.
Yes. That's the best part of the book.
Congratulations.
The triumph.
And yeah.
Yes.
You deserve it. You deserve all the success in the world. You overcame so much.
Yeah. All by the grace of God, I'm telling you. Even before
all
I knew him.
All by the grace of God, me too. Yeah.
Even before I knew him. Yes.
Yes.
He was there for me. And
always.
Put amazing people in my life. I just didn't realize the impact that the different people would have, like you and like that
right.
police officer
and that
others
lady.
That came in. Yeah.
Others.
Yeah. So many people that he put in my path. And I
there's
never
a lot of good people.
Knew. Yeah.
There
absolutely.
Are a lot of good people. And this is what I learned too. Like, this is what I learned to learn. That there is good out there. There is good, and you can trust again.
Yes.
Even
absolutely.
Regardless of what, because you put your faith in God. And because otherwise, you have it all on your shoulders. You can't take that pressure. None of us can. There is a plan for everyone. There's a purpose, and everybody has a story, and everybody has a purpose, every one of us. And who we are and where we are is just a page, a chapter, you know? It'll go on, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Well, Ileana, I want to thank you so, so much for coming on the show and for sharing your heart and being so open and willing to share that, to share what you've endured, what I've endured. It was truly my honor to have you on the show. And I'm so grateful
thank
for our
you
friendship.
So much. Me too.
Oh, you are so
I'm grateful
great.
For
you.
I am so grateful for you. And you know what? I'm so proud of you, profoundly proud. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And as I shared earlier, I have a big announcement about Empower You Radio for all of my listeners. Tonight was actually our very last internet radio show. We are transitioning to live shows starting in June. And I couldn't have thought of a better way to have a last show than to have my best friend on, Ileana. And so you will hear more about the new show that's coming out. We will still have survivors. We will still talk about growing and healing. There will be time, most of the time you'll be able to see the other person with me. It'll be on Facebook. We will also create a YouTube channel, and it will also be on our website. And it is an incredible opportunity, and I'm very excited about it. Now, our link will still be up. We will still have the Blog Talk Radio link, so that any past shows for the last 3 years that we've done will still be up. They will not go away. So I will still keep the actual channel, but we are transitioning to live shows, which is going to be even more impactful. But I couldn't have thought of a better way to end the radio show than with you, Ileana. And I'm very excited about what the future holds. And I want to thank all of my listeners. I pray that you all will follow me on Facebook and follow the shows. Don't worry. You will know that when they're coming. They will be posted. it'll be all across social media. but I'm really excited about it, and it's just a new chapter for Empower You, and I'm very excited about it. So with that, I pray that everyone has an amazing week. Thank you so much for listening. Share this link with all of your friends. Share it on social media so that they can hear this incredible show, because this was probably one of the most impactful shows that I've ever had. And I've had some pretty impactful shows, but this one was absolutely amazing and just really blew me away. So I thank all of you, Ileana. Again, thank you for taking your time out. I love you
anytime.
So much.
I love you too.
We will talk soon. And for all of you, be blessed and remember to be a blessing to someone else. Good night.
Yep. They will never forget what you say. Everyone will always remember how you make them feel. Good night.
Amen to that. Good night.